7 minutes or less.
Hey guys, what's up? This is John coming at you with another episode of 720 Seconds. Welcome to part 3 of my history with VMTV, Video Masters TV. If you're a little behind, if you're just tuning in, be sure to check out the first 2 parts of our VMTV history before we continue with this. And that being said, part 3. So I last left off with the year being 2001. By this point, I had quit my first job, and I wasn't bringing in any income. Yes, I was still living at home, but I still wanted to do the show in some capacity. And I wasn't able to do a whole lot, and I had just ended my second relationship. This was the same girl who I tried to get in a few episodes with, and it didn't quite work out. And she didn't want to wait around for me to get another job, so rather than live by her ultimatum, I said, yeah, this is not going to work out. I'm going to, you know, pull out of this relationship. So 2002 came. By this point, I was already working at Barnes & Noble, and I also met the woman who would become my first wife. So she was living with me for about 6 months. During that time, I decided to do a podcast, an audio podcast called Video Masters Radio. I got this idea from listening to another podcast called Retro Gaming Radio. And that's hosted by a fellow named Shane Armonroe. Shane, how you doing? And the way he did the podcast, you know, he pulled no punches, definitely. And, you know, he wasn't like one of those angry reviewers that you see saying, you know, you suck and this game sucks or whatever. But he was very opinionated, still is to this day. And I thought, all right, this seems to be what the norm is. Maybe I should try this approach. Lesson learned, just be yourself. If I was going to give anybody any advice on how to do their own podcast, whether it's audio, video, I would say just be who you are. Don't try to change because, you know, of what marketing dictates. It's just be yourself. I'm going to touch on that again later on, because like I said, this is a pretty extensive history, and if I'm dragging this on, guys, I'm sorry, but I felt this needed to be addressed for a reason, and I will get to that reason. Just bear with me, please. All right, so April 2002, I launched Video Masters Radio. Now, what that was, I did integrate reviews, occasional cheats, and things like that, but I also took these video game music remixes of, say, the castle level in Super Mario World, or someone would do a rock theme to Legend of Zelda. You can actually check out some of the remixes that I downloaded at a website called ocremix.org. That's the Overclocked Remix. They do some great stuff. There's a lot of talented cats out there, and they do great work. So I pulled a couple of remixes. I kind of treated it like it was a radio station, and I was the DJ. Then I would say, hey, welcome to the show. We got a great one lined up. But first, here's a remix by so-and-so, and it's called ba-ba-ba-ba. So I did that, from 2002 on and off until about 2010. And I put these all on CD. They didn't go online at first. Around the end of April or the beginning of May, I left Brooklyn, New York to move to Maryland with my first wife. Her name is Jennifer. Hi, Jen. And during that time, I still wanted to do the radio show, so I came back to New York. I collected my computer and everything else I needed to produce this podcast, and I continued with my show as normal until 2004, which was when we had our first child, Emily. Emily is 14 now. At least at the time of this recording. She'll be 15 pretty soon. You know, once you become a parent, your life changes, definitely for the better. But in my case, you know, there was much less time to produce the podcast because, you know, you do have responsibilities. And I definitely wanted to continue the show in some way. The reason why Videomasters means so much to me, not just the radio show or the TV show or, you know, even these, you know, podcasts and everything else that I'm doing, is because I need to do something creative. I want to do something creative. It makes me feel good. I was recently diagnosed with having autism spectrum disorder. My 13-year-old son has it. My nephew, my sister's kid, he is 5 years old and he has autism, hasn't spoken a word yet. So it definitely runs in the family. If I was going to trace it back, I'd probably trace it back to my grandfather on my mother's side. You have to understand, this left me, you know, even before I found this out, I deal with depression and anxiety, and the show is the only way I can express myself because I'm not able to express myself to other human beings in a one-on-one scenario or in a group scenario. It's just not easy. And I'm still, you know, I'm still looking into doing more research about this and trying to improve myself in some ways. But right now, doing these creative outlets is the only way that I can remain sane and just keep myself safe. I'm not going to do anything to myself, so you don't have to call any you know, any hospitals or anything like that. It means a lot to me. My show has helped me in so many ways. Number one, growing up, I had a huge stuttering problem. I know it's hard to gauge just by listening to me, but it's the truth. If you guys are familiar with 80s icon Max Headroom, that's kind of what my stuttering sounded like. Sometimes it was because other people would be talking over me while I'm trying to talk, so I would have to stop mid-sentence or sometimes mid-word and start again. So it would sound that, sort of like that, you know? Since writing the scripts and being on camera, the stuttering stopped significantly. This was a whole lot better than going to some kind of speech therapist or whatever. I mean, I did have speech classes when I was, you know, growing up, but it wasn't as big of a help as doing the show was, because I got comfortable being on camera. Eventually, I got comfortable with being around other people, because doing the show, doing VMTV in 2006, we got to go to Comic-Cons, I got to do interviews with people. If you had asked me to do this at 15 or 16 years old, I would have been so nervous. It would just be a massive train wreck trying to interview just, you know, a regular Joe who's working on a game or an independent film or whatever. But because I had such experience being on camera, everything just kind of came naturally to me, and there's a lot of interview stories that I can share, and I will definitely share in future podcasts. God, we're probably going to be on part 13 before I get to that, but I'll worry about that later. So, okay. This is 2004. My daughter was born. Had less time to do the show. I decided to do other creative outlets. I did a comic strip for a couple of years. Eventually, after having our second child, Jacob, our marriage was kind of falling apart. I ended up moving back to Brooklyn, New York. And I wanted to do the radio show still because I didn't have a good camcorder. And I don't know, there was just a lot of other factors that happened. I know I still have my mixer and everything, but you know, by this point, it just wasn't the same. So I was still trying to do the radio show and, you know, just try to make something out of that. But during the time that I was still in Maryland, but was unemployed, let me jump back a little bit. Around 2001, I looked up this guy on AOL. He was a writer, producer, editor, comic. I don't know if I should disclose his name or not, because I know he's still around doing stuff, but I think he doesn't do the same exact thing. But anyway, I was basically trying to look up how I can pitch the show to a network. Because obviously, we tried public access. It didn't quite work out. They never got back to us. These were the same public access people that, you know, they wouldn't air our stuff. But if you watch public access at a certain hour of the night, you can see a show called Live Teen Models. And they were nude. They were freaking nude. And there was also a show called Spickin' Spanish, where this guy would go on nude beaches and talk to chicks and whatever. I'm like, okay, so you can air this stuff, but you don't want to air mine. I see what's going on. So public access was out of the question. So I was trying to look up this guy, you know, see, okay, what are the secrets? What am I missing? What am I, you know, not doing to get the show on the air? Well, he gave me a couple of pointers, and I'll have to continue this in part four. Sorry, you guys, I'm still trying to keep this under 12 minutes. So this is John for 720 seconds. We'll catch you in part 35 or whatever this is. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Overall, the action is happening. The graphics and sounds are hot. The game is cool. So get it. Or you have to come and suck my dick, motherfucker.